Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. And guess what? I'm Rusty. And I have to tell you all that we have had 163 shows to date. Today is 163. And relevancy to you is probably not. But for me, it's daunting that we've actually had 163 shows. That's amazing. I've grown from 5 people, my closest friends, to over 300,000 people on an international level, and I cannot say how, I cannot, from the bottom of my heart, thank you all for your love, your support, your dedication to the show, sharing the show with your friends and family, and, you know, sharing it across the world. I still get tears in my eyes when somebody from a different country reaches out and just says, hello, I heard your show today, and it's very humbling and amazing to me how far the show has grown. As well, the Ask a PI show that I host on Wednesdays at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. We're on our 4th show this afternoon, and again, just inundated with a lot of interest. And I do this because of you and walking this journey with you and learning about the various modalities of healing and growing and living and thriving and just making this life as joyous as possible, because that's really what we're here for. I am sitting in Concord, New Hampshire at the Supreme Court, finishing up my fight for relocation, and it's a very rainy day, which is kind of comforting and soothing. I'm wearing my favorite sweater, just snuggling, comforting, and quite frankly, I had all kinds of fears as I drove the hour and 15 minutes here. I was afraid that it was going to be a really intimidating situation, and when I got there, it was incredibly relieving. Everybody's very kind, very humble, very small, and I don't have to do half of what I thought I had to do, which makes it a lot easier. Thank you, God. I appreciate that. I have to say that today's show is perfect as we grow and in our own journeys in life. But I have Tony Henderson Mayers on, the author of Wise Courtship. And this is all about the 4 relationship and marriage guides. So I'm going to pull Tony on, when Tony will be on, to discuss Wise Courtship. So we're talking about courting, dating, love, sex, women, men, healing, self-help, and marriage, and how to do it wisely. I'm really looking forward to this as I recreate my own life, newly divorced. And at some point, Blog Talk will let Tony in to chit-chat with us. On Sunday, I have, let's see, who is on Sunday? So amazing to me that we're in August. All right, Sunday the 17th, can you believe that? Xander, musician and songwriter. So we're going to have some music to fill our souls with on Sunday. That's very exciting. And I'm going to try this again.
Hello.
Hello, are you there? Yay!
Yeah.
Because of the storm, there's a little bit of Wi-Fi technical difficulty, so I apologize about that. But hello, Tony, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I am fabulous. It's been one of those amazing spiritual journeys for me today, coming to the crux of my battle with trying to relocate to my home state of Florida. And just lots of relief, and this rain is completely cleansing. So it's a perfect moment to discuss your book and what you do and why you do what you do. So who are you?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
Well, Tony Henderson Mayers, and I've written a book called Wise Courtship. But before that, you know, I definitely have gone and become educated and done a lot of things in counseling and owned my own business for a long time. And so I've taken the experience of counseling and management and kind of rolled all of those things into one about managing your relationship. Just seen a lot of people go through some painful things in relationships and parting ways, even over frivolous things, as well as having some serious issues that they've had to deal with, which prompted me to write the book. I was just so concerned that people take care or do the due diligence necessary to have a great relationship.
What was your inspiration to really delve into relationships? I mean, we're as a species one of the most fascinating creatures on the planet, in my mind. I think we're this fabulous, gorgeous, delicious, delectable, walking dichotomy. We're hypocrites and we're loving and we're just this centrifuge of so many different things in one body. Why did you pick one of the toughest parts of our personality, which is relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote the book out of frustration. I really hate to see people unloved and or to make a decision and not know or have any clue as to why things may have fell apart or went wrong. And as you say, we're complex. We have so many wonderful things about us, and there's so many things about us that are so complicated. There's so many intricate things about us. And relationships, as you know, is a very abstract term. It is very emotional, but yet I felt moved to try to write it in a very practical way that people may be able to utilize the information and make it a best fit for their situation so that they would be celebrated in all of the intricacies that that make them uniquely them.
Because of the storm, I keep muting myself so that we can hear you clearly and not the background of the water hitting the windshield. So what did you want to be when you grew up? When you were a kid, did you see yourself as this relationship guru?
I didn't see myself as a relationship guru, but I did, you know, initially I thought I would be a teacher. And I have done that, and that's exactly what the book is teaching, the concept. I think what happened is that I evolved. I knew that I would be doing some counseling, and I knew that I would be teaching. I knew also, too, that I would be speaking in front of crowds of people. So it's just amazing how all of those things did roll into one. But I evolved over the years. Of course, I went for teaching, and then I studied psychology, and I utilized all of those things in helping people in various situations. But I found that the common denominator was always relationships, whether it was romantic relationships, friendships, business partnerships, but the common denominator was always relationships and how one made a choice as to how their outcome or how their life turned out. So I guess in a way I didn't want to do that when I was young. I mean, I had all of the basics, what I could label it was. But of course, as we live life, God molds us into what it really would become.
So talk to me about your relationships. I mean, we all have this cosmic 2x4 that God gives us, but boy, does God have us walk the path before we become an activist for that journey, right? So what were
Absolutely.
Your relationships like? And you know, I would assume that you had issues with your own personal relationships.
Yeah, well, I just celebrated 20 years in my marriage, so I'm very excited about that. But certainly anyone who has any marriage and one is successful, it's not always peaches and cream, but it is nonetheless something that you learn to work through and to work together with. And I must say that because of the choice and the due diligence done ahead of time, it made it a lot easier. I was also blessed to come up through a family. You know, a lot of people talk about dysfunctional families, but my family was extremely functional, which was really nice. However, that loving family helped prepare me for when I went outside of my home. There were a lot of relationships, especially in the move. We moved from one state to the other, and there were a lot of relationships and a lot of energy that was not good. that I had to learn to navigate through. Very tough situations, bullying situations, abusive situations, you know, situations where whenever you're the new person that comes in the area, people don't want you around, and you have to learn how to navigate through all of that. So it was great that I had a loving, supporting family so that I would have to be able to deal with a lot of those things. And that taught me a lot about people, how they react to things, generally what they like and don't like, and then all of the uniqueness of each individual, how to approach people, how to speak to them. It taught me to be extremely observant. And it's all of the things that I now use in what I call the wise courtship philosophy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how we go through these moments that are extremely humbling, and sometimes you feel like as you go through this realization process that you were just beating your head against the wall and you don't understand why you were so comfortably numb doing it, because you knew better, right?
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
obviously
yeah.
didn't. You wouldn't have continued the behavior. So what kinds of steps or advice would you have for individuals who are in this process of realizing that they're beating their head against the wall and playing the same tune?
Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because in the situations that I was in, I moved from one area to another, and I felt like I was just watching a movie unfold. Like, it wasn't really part of my life. So a lot of things I felt was happening to me. In actuality, it was. I mean, I didn't certainly ask for a lot of the aggression and problems and those types of things. But what I have learned, even as I was beating my head against the wall, is that we are all empowered, and at any time we can start to take steps to change our lives. And so I would say to anyone who feels themselves going around in a circle, or you're knocking your head against the wall, you're wringing your hands, you're not sure what to do next, the thing to do next is to know that you can do something next. You have to realize that I can change the situation by changing my mind or changing my direction. And it's so empowering. It was a big lesson. I couldn't understand for years why would I go through that. So I was such a nice person. Anyone who's been to any kind of abuse, bullying, verbal abuse, physical abuse, and you feel, well, I didn't bring this upon myself. Why am I going through this? And I've learned that it was such a great lesson on empowerment.
I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with you. I grew up in a very abusive household. I married abusive, and I've been terrified to date since, because the few dates that I've been on, they were abusive.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, you walk around going, okay, I'm an abusive magnet. All right, change your thinking. You got to stop saying that. That's why you're attracting it. So in that process, what kinds of advice would you give men and women? I have a few of my male friends that are actually listening, because they too continue to attract abusive women.
Yeah.
So what kinds of advice would you give them, us, in regards to really changing that level of pattern?
Well,
habitual
what's interesting is that in my life, again, I had this wonderful family. My dad was always there. He loved my mom. We loved one another. Of course, later when I married someone who loved me, that type of thing. But I was at a point where I could almost succumb to the outside abuse, you know, where I could see how people treat one another and how they were treating me, to be as the norm versus look at the example that was immediately before me and grab hold of that. And I guess I'm saying that to say that all of us have someone or something or some place or areas we can go where there are positive examples that we have to cling to and believe. Mine was in my house, and it was also in my church, and it was also in some of the sphere of influence, you know, friends of a friend that I could, you know, look upon. Some of us would have to look maybe further in the sphere, or we may have to look on our jobs or what have you. But we need to grab hold of positive examples, positive information, positive training, all of those types of things. You know, because you may say, well, I don't know anyone. Well, get yourself in a group where you can get positive information, get materials where you can get positive information so that you can grab hold of it and believe it and try to replicate what you see being done in those situations. Because knowledge is power. Of course, it's better to see it, but sometimes you have to just grab a hold of the information and take that baby step first. But you got to see it, you got to do it, you got to believe it, you got to replicate it.
All right, so we're listening to Toni Henderson Mayer. She's the author of Wise Courtship. It's all about courting, dating, being wise, being strong, holding into your authentic self, and healing. And right now we're going to go to a quick commercial break and get back to Ms. Toni. Hold on one moment.
Living and Thriving with Rusty is proudly sponsored by Lady Hawk & Associates, a full private investigation firm. Contact Lady Hawk & Associates today, 941-275-1920. Remember, Lady Hawk & Associates can help you uncover, recover, or discover. Call 941-275-1920.
ASEA is the first and only source of balanced, stabilized redox signaling molecules outside the body. What does that mean? Enhanced immune function, protection against free radical damage, boosts efficiency of the body's own antioxidants by up to 500%, and provides superior support to athletes, for starters. To learn more about this amazing one-of-a-kind product and how it can enrich your life, go to ASEA-rocks.com. That's ASEA-rocks.com. Or call Teresa at 206-454-9226. Again, that's 206-454-9226.
Thanks for Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and today is Company Hump Day. It's rainy August 13th day. And what's really interesting and just dawned on me is my court hearing that everybody knew about and was praying and held vigil for was June 13th, and guess what? It was pouring rain. And guess what? Today, ironically, is August 13th, and I'm sitting here at the Supreme Court finishing up the filing for my relocation battle that I've been working on for the last couple of years. So I have no idea what relevancy there is, but for those of you who can figure that one out, give me a call or ping me or whatever, and there's got to be a relation to the number 13 in rain. I have no idea. Anyway, so today I'm on the horn with Toni Henderson Mayer. She's the author of Wise Courtship, and we're learning how to be wise about our courting, about our relationships, about each other. And I don't think she's just intending this to be a romantic conversation, but just relationships in general. What do you say to that, Toni? Are you referring to just romantic, or are you talking about relationships in general?
Well, talking about it, relationships in general, certainly, you know, people are very interested in the romantic, and I speak about that a lot in the book. But I do try to let people know that relationships are a huge part of our lives. So we're talking about all types of relationships, and you want all of them to work out well for you.
Absolutely. And I think there is, you know, I think one of the things that we have really failed our communities in is that we're no longer a community. Once upon a time, we were able to mimic the environment around us. We would go to church every Sunday. We'd have that community. We would have our family. We would have a little bit more closeness than we do now. Everybody seems to be separate, and they communicate via text or chat versus actually picking up the phone and dialing. And I'm a criminal in that regard as well. But I think we've lost that sense of togetherness. I waitress part-time, and I watch people literally sit at the table eating their meal, texting during the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a phenomenon that is bittersweet. And technology has been amazing. It brought you and I together today, and I'm so grateful for having that opportunity, whereas, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you'd have to fly here. But we don't have to do that anymore, and I get interviewed all over the world to have these conversations, but I don't have to fly anywhere, which is, again, bittersweet because there was a radio show in the Caribbean I could have enjoyed. we've taken it to the far extreme in regards to even when we're having physical contact, we're still digitally tuned in versus verbally and eye contact, all of those things that we don't have anymore. I think that's really destroyed the fabric of developing relationships with people personally. What do you think? What is your argument with that?
I totally agree with you. I think you hit on some awesome points. It's amazing that you talked about the scenario in restaurants. I, too, have noticed that. And I definitely try to make a point of not even picking up my phone when I'm, you know, having a lunch date with a friend or my husband, especially children, because those times are valuable. And I remember being in a restaurant. I think I was with a friend because we looked over at the table. I think I would remember if it was my husband. But we looked over at the table, and the gentleman was having a lunch date with his daughter. And the entire time, he was on his phone. So, and I was really floored because she was not on hers, partly. She was about 13, so possibly she may not have had a phone, but he was on his the entire time. And I thought, how sad, because those moments do not come back again, especially with children. We can see that, obviously, because they grow so fast. But it's the same way with love relationships with your spouse or significant other, with your parents. I mean, they age, and then before you know it, they're gone. With friends, think about the times that we've gone out with friends, and now it is a memory. We were anxiously anticipating it, and now it's over. So, and then we've even had loved ones to pass on, and we don't have that time with them again. And as you stated, you know, the technology is awesome, but we have to know how to use it in its place. There is nothing like a relationship where you can reach out and touch someone, look them in the eyes, and speak to them. And that's what relationships is all about. It's really about taking the time to build, because relationships have never been about us, per se. It has always been about the other person. And we're losing that. And that's why it's so important when you're especially trying to choose a love relationship or an intimate friendship, you know, that inner circle of friends that you're going to rely upon, that you take the time to select and choose well and to watch and to listen and to learn so that you can get yourself in the best situation where you are now able to give freely and to take back freely. And it would alleviate a lot of the hurt and the pain.
Well, and one of the things that I found out, and this goes out to a particular listener, is there is this desire for certain people, certain personality types, certain wounded partners that just have a real difficult time being alone. And mm-hmm. I find that in the world that we've manufactured loneliness, we really have done this fantastic job of manufacturing this artificial relationship, i.e. texting, anything separate from actually holding hands or snuggling. We've also, from that, spawned a whole segment of individuals who have a real hard time being alone. So they go from one relationship to another relationship to another relationship, and in the time period in between, they're really miserable, and they think of relationships as kind of the antithesis of living. What kinds of advice would you have for somebody who is incredibly wonderful, loving, amazing, but just has this relationship to relationship to relationship habitual thing, and each relationship they fail for the same reasons, but you know what I'm saying? I have a few friends that are like that.
Well, you said a key thing there. You said habitual, and anything habitual is a habit, and when it's a habit, you are chasing after the high. And the high that is in that type of relationship is the warm, fuzzy, on-edge feeling, you know, that nervousness when you're actually starting to fall in love, the sick feeling, the happy feeling, the elation, whatever feeling that you get when you first fall in love. Some people have to have that high. And when that high fades, because we know, especially in a romantic relationship, that will fade some. It'll come and go, you know, it'll come back and go, but it generally does not stay that high all the time. it starts to now go into a friendship and a more lasting type of love. And that's the type of love that most people are afraid to get involved in, where now you have to strip yourself and a person gets to know you intimately, not physically, but emotionally. And you
right.
have to begin to trust the other individual. And so my advice to the person is that whenever you go follow a high, there's going to be a low. And when there's a low, there's a crash low where you're going to feel depressed. You have to find out, what is it that I am chasing so much that I have to just have the high? Because the real relationship is in the steadiness, you know, in the give and take, in the being truthful and honest with the other
person. But, honey, I'm going to have to, I'm sorry, we're on a T-minus 3 minutes, and we have a guest caller on the line who has a quick question,
sure.
and you have about a minute to answer. So, guest caller,
sure.
what's your question?
Hey, this is me. I'll leave me as anonymous. So it sounds like the person you're talking about, I'm similar to that person, I guess, you're talking about. I was married for 14 years with the same girl for 20 years. It ended kind of tragically on her behalf. She made some mistakes. So I've been in and out of several relationships for the past 4 to 5 years, none ending well. Some of them I still remain friends, but you mentioned about searching for that high. I'm definitely the guy who can't be alone. I definitely can't be alone. So I fall very easily. Obviously, when someone pays attention to you, gives you compliments, and you think things are great, you kind of jump into that, and then all of a sudden it turns to, you know, the plane crashes, and then you kind of start over and try to regroup. So, I don't know what really my question is, but I think it's really hard these days to find that committed relationship where there's trust, and you're not looking at everyone's phone, you know, your partner's phone every 2 seconds. I think it's really hard these days to find that.
Yes, absolutely. I would definitely say, you know, I discussed this in my book about how to search for the person. There's two things I kind of want to cover since I have less than a minute. But one is to make sure that you do an exercise that I call of really getting to know what you are looking for and to make sure that you are ready. And I know a lot of times we say on the surface, I'm ready. But are you ready financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, all the categories of life that you can think of? Am I ready? And if you can truly be ready in all those categories, because none of us are batting 100 in every category, but if you can be pretty much optimal in every category, then you can start looking for what you want. Now, the book itself will teach you the steps on what to do to look. Because when I find that if we don't go through those actual steps, when we start skipping the steps, you know, especially we get to step one and the person looks really good and we like them, we don't want to do step two and three. And very often we fail at that because we haven't done two or three. The reason why searching for yourself and making sure that you're ready is important because for a long, especially people who don't like to be alone, when you start to figure out whether or not you're ready, you'll start to see that there's some areas that you may need to work on. And when you're busy working on that, you don't have time to even think about being alone. And as you become optimal in those categories, then you start to build more self-confidence that it does not matter if you are alone or not, because you're busy. And then
sure.
with that confidence, when you start looking, you start to look. It's almost like putting on glasses when you can't see well. That confidence about yourself and knowing yourself well and knowing that you had to put a lot of work in to get yourself to a certain level, it's like putting glasses on and you're able to see the person for what they really are. And when you
Yay.
Utilize those steps that I talk about in that book, it'll help you. Don't skip a step, and it'll help you get through to what you're looking for.
Well, thank you very much. I hope it's not a big book.
No, it's very small. I'm glad you said that. Because I thought about my readers. They don't want to read a long time. Very easy to get through.
So quickly,
well,
we have about 10 seconds. Tony, thank you, guest caller, for calling in. Tony, quickly, tell us where we find your book. We've got about 5 seconds.
Okay, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to www.wisecourtship.com, WiseCourtship.com. And you can go to any of those sites. You can go to my Twitter page. You can go to my Facebook page, LinkedIn page. It's Wise Courtship, the before
Yay.
Relationship and marriage guide.
Ms. Toni, it was a blessing to have you on today. Thank you for sharing your story, and it's amazing how quickly we can go through this show. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye, guys.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I think we're still on air. I'm not sure. But that was Toni Henderson Myers. She's author of Wise Courtship. Check out her book. As always, I love you. I think you're beautiful. I'm so glad we get to walk this path together. And until Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Living and Thriving, or in about an hour with David Duchesneau at Ask a PI Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Until then, I love you, and smile. It's contagious.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.